Welcome back. History's repeating itself, and we're talking about that. We're going to get to 5G because people have been programmed to accept whatever boot is forced down their throat in America, and that is most tragic and unfortunate, I would say. So, Ayak writes in the introduction of The Road to Serfdom, it is not enough if we are to show to others that what we are fighting for is worth their support, and it is not enough to guide us in the building of a new world safe against the dangers to which the old one has succumbed. It is a lamentable fact that the democracies have shown an inner insecurity and uncertainty of aim, which can be explained only by confusion about their ideals, their own ideals, and the nature of the differences which separated them from the enemy. And again, you know, I think of Bertrand Russell's Impact of Science on Society. Populace will not be allowed to know how its convictions were generated. Do people have any idea how their convictions were generated or from where, from whence they derive? And again, you know, you skip forward to chapter 10 very quickly, why the worst get on top, and how you need the lowest common denominator to weld together a sufficiently large enough group of people to win public office. And it just lends itself to exactly what we hear in things like the Impact of Science on Society. Propagandizing people. Again, Vance Packard's The Hidden Persuaders. By the 1952 presidential campaign, the persuaders had been welcomed into the inner councils by at least one party. 1952. Strategy, treatment of issues, use of media, budgeting, and pacing of the Eisenhower campaign showed the pervasive influence of professional propagandists. 1952. Professional propagandists. People have no idea. And to, you know, just to illustrate how far down the line we have progressed from then, I mean, this is a field of study in universities. This is a career field. To manipulate one's fellow man. Intentionally mislead, really. This is America? I mean, what adjective do you ascribe to this behavior? The ninth commandment from Exodus chapter 20, and commandments, ninth commandment, you shall not bear false witness. You shall not bear false witness. Shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And it's interesting, I have a little footnote. Verse 16, in my own personal note, bear false witness, not lie. To lie is to deceive. See Hebrews 4:13. Nothing is hidden from the Lord, therefore there are no true lies before him, since all things are laid bare before him. Therefore, we can only bear false witness to our neighbor specifically. And so I think it's one of those mind, little mental gymnastics that we do, mind tricks that we play on ourselves. I'll not bear false witness. who is even concerned with their own witness anymore? And speaking of that, it's interesting that makes me think of Clark's sharing of grief, everything's slow. The limits of my language are the limits of my world. And, you know, you think of the witness you bear. All right, I'll finish the this excerpt from the introduction of IX Road to Serfdom, and we'll go to the phones real quick. So, how many features of Hitler's system have not been recommended to us for imitation from the most unexpected quarters, unaware that there is an integral part of that system and incompatible with the free society we hope to preserve? Number of dangerous mistakes we have made before and since the outbreak of war because we do not understand the opponent with whom we are faced is appalling. It seems almost as if we do not want to understand the development which has produced totalitarianism, because such an understanding might destroy some of the dearest illusions to which we all are determined to cling. The theory that the Germans as such are inherently vicious is hardly tenable, etc., etc. In its cruder forms, this view is a disgrace to those who, by maintaining it, adopt the worst features of German racial theories. Again, consider post-9/11 Muslim rhetoric. It's mind-numbingly oversimplified, grossly oversimplified and ignorant, because you have to understand Frank Kitson's countergang and the Afghan Mujahideen created by the CIA's Operation Cyclone, which is the real problem. The ideology comes from Saudi Arabia. It's Wahhabism. Salafism is Wahhabism on tour. Also Deobandism, etc. It's always that. And then in a minute, we'll get to, you know, taking that on the road, because it was so effective in destroying the Ottoman Empire, breaking that up. And now we're going to sort of remake that into, I would say, you know, old Babylon, essentially. But it was Wahhabism was so effective in balkanizing the Ottoman Empire that now we just need to take that social virus on tour. And that's Kelly Greenhill's coercive engineered migration, which we'll get to in a second in Hayek's introduction to The Road to Serfdom. He touches on the nature of that issue. Anyway, problem is not why the Germans are such a... And you think about it. I mean, what do we hear? We get drawn into these limited hangouts of discussion. Are we encouraged to talk about National Socialism? Is that the place that your mind sort of ruminates on when these sorts of discussions arise? I dare say no. Problem is not why the Germans are such vicious... which congenitally they are probably no more than other peoples, but to determine the circumstances which during the last 70 years have made possible the progressive growth and the ultimate victory of a particular set of ideas. You know, memes, memetic warfare, mind viruses, that kind of stuff. Wahhabism, like at Yale, you know, Islamic studies, only it's Wahhabi studies. Let's define terms. And why, in the end, this victory has brought the most vicious elements among them to the top. Again, chapter 10, why the worst get on top. Mere hatred of everything German instead of the particular ideas which now dominate the Germans is, moreover, very dangerous because it blinds those who indulge in it against a real threat. It is to be feared that this attitude is frequently merely a kind of escapism, caused by an unwillingness to recognize tendencies which are not confined to Germany, and by a reluctance to re-examine, and if necessary, to discard, beliefs which have taken over from the Germans, and by which we are still as much deluded as the Germans were. America, hello? It is doubly dangerous because the contention that only the peculiar wickedness of the Germans has produced the Nazi system is likely to become the excuse for forcing on us the very institutions which have produced that wickedness. Again, Edwin Black's War Against the Weak and maybe R.J. Rummel's Death by Government are perhaps essential reading here. Who knows? Again, William Bloom's work, you know, telling us what has happened. What's the most rabid warmongering society in the, you know, since the turn of the, well, since the middle of the 20th century? How about that? Who's been engaged in nation-building spates, as Rand Corporation calls it? Who's projecting power, as Noam Chomsky says? So if this interpretation is correct, it will also explain why it is almost impossible for a person who, like most of the exiles and the foreign correspondents of English and American newspapers, hold the now prevalent socialist views to see those events in proper perspective. And by the way, speaking of that, you know, the Rees Committee, what did they find? This is what the grant-making powers were used to do, to find people with a particular view that was, you know, designed to bear false witness. The superficial and misleading view which sees in the National Socialism merely a reaction fomented by those whose privileges or interests were threatened by the advance of socialism was naturally supported by all those who, although they were at one time active in the movements of ideas that has led to National Socialism, have stopped at some point of that development and, by the conflict into which this brought them with the Nazis, were forced to leave their country. If this interpretation is correct, it means, however, that many of those socialist refugees, and this is where I think of Kelly Greenhill's coercive engineered migration. If this interpretation is correct, it means, however, that many of those socialist refugees, in clinging to their beliefs, are now, though with the best will in the world, they have the best of intentions, obviously. They just want to escape persecution, helping to lead their adopted country the way which Germany has gone. I think I'll leave it at that. So we have echoes of the same thing happening here in America. And the updated version of Hayek, so to speak, is what I, you know, at least in part, Patrick Porter's Soldiers Fighting Alone, The Wars of the Market Security State. And I want to offer that section, Unbroken, again. I think everyone needs to read this stuff. Everyone needs to ruminate on this stuff in America, because who knows? I mean, is it over? You know, the social psychologists of the future will have a number of classes of school children on whom they will try different methods of producing an unshakable conviction that snow is black. There is a reason school seems like a prison these days. You know, and so the, you know, you just do a search in your favorite search engine. School is prison. You get lots of articles. Why is school like a prison? School is a prison. Why don't students like school? Well, duh, that's Psychology Today back in 2009. These others are 2013. Debate.org, are schools becoming more like prisons? Yeah. And the more you dig into this, the less, you know, the less of a discussion it is. Have you been to a school lately? So this HLN video that redirects to CNN topical section now. Can't even find the old video. It redirects to CNN. Anyway, Are schools becoming more like prisons? And, you know, in that HLN piece, they talk about how, in many ways, in 2013, prisons were more liberal and less coercive than schools. You know, at least in prison, the inmates are allowed to choose their own literature, at least to an extent. I digress. To the phones, Jim in Brooklyn. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Chris. How are you? A few things. You were talking about the philosophy seeking out the lowest common denominator among people, among populations. Mm-hmm. And then you were talking about a spiritual concept of the ninth commandment. Well, that's what I wanted to say, is that a higher common denominator would be spirituality, belief in a common one God, creator of the universe. And this is a common denominator which is of a high level. And I want to point out something that mixes in with that, that interlocks. You're talking about the different philosophies and actions of the Third Reich. I have secondhand anecdotal stories of Jewish people who were running for their lives in Nazi-occupied Europe. And they said that when they found a non-Jewish person who was wearing a cross, even though the religions are in many ways at odds with each other, they felt safe and at home. This is anecdotal, but I heard it on several counts. So this is very interesting. And with regard to the various philosophers you're talking about, another thing that mixes in with that, I had only two required semesters of philosophy, you know, the 101 and 102, whatever they were. And I remember in the 102 class, we had Nietzsche and other philosophers.
Yeah.
Somebody had carved into the desk, and you probably have heard it before, he said, God is dead, Nietzsche, and then it said, Nietzsche is dead, God. You probably may have heard that before.
Yeah.
But the religion and the one universal God, but we believe in the one universal God is a common denominator of a high level. And, well, I guess that's all I want to say about that. And I remember all those books you were quoting, like I think it was not The Corporation Man, but The Crack. Remember those, The Crack in the Picture Window, Silent Spring, when those books came out around the same time? They were sort of like a harbinger or a gateway into the beginnings of modern, I guess you call it modern depression.
Yeah. That's a good point. Jim, if you want to hang around, if you can, feel free. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. knowledge, and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up, churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank, fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns, their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down, the fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up, and long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance, he's going for speed. She's all alone, all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
Welcome back. I want to get back to this emblematic illustration of where we're at. I mean, it's just the deterioration, the decline in thought, morality, you know, all of it. I mean, it's just really embodied in this Johnson & Johnson thing. And I think the Yahoo Finance headline says it. It really sort of really typifies how bad things are in America. Johnson & Johnson have told to pay $8 billion to man over unwanted breast growth. Is there such a thing as wanted male breast growth? I just, you know, it's just, it's astonishing in so many ways. And again, as you know, we'll get back to that in a minute. The to frame that with the take care of you, your whole life company commercial in the backdrop, that ad campaign. I mean, is it not obvious what's going on here? And speaking of the contradiction, Johnson & Johnson should be boycotted by, you know, hundreds of millions of people immediately. Anyway, we're on the phones. We have Jim in Brooklyn on the line. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, Chris. Yeah, I just want to finish with one thing which is directly related to what you were talking about. Are you familiar with the John Batchelor Show?
I don't think so.
Okay, anyhow, he had some guests on last night from China. One is inside China and one is outside China. And they were referring to this Uyghur, they're called East Turkestan people that are in the western part of China. I'm sure you know about the whole situation there. But There was one situation.
Color revolution, in a nutshell.
You might not have heard about this yet. That this is directly spoken by people. Crematoria, as in Nazi Germany, have been built on the inside at the fringes of the Uyghur enclosed territory, and he says that so far at least 10 elderly women who could not withstand torture and died have been cremated And on top of that, an ad appeared in some newspaper in China, probably around that area. I forgot exactly where. They're looking for crematorium workers. So this is
I'm not surprised. I mean, you can find, for example, execution van on Wikipedia. The execution van, also called a mobile execution unit, was developed by the government of the People's Republic of China. First used in 1997. Mobile gas vans were invented, used by Soviet secret police in the late 1930s. But, you know, it talks about the Wikipedia entry talks about becoming popular in 2006. These officials state that the vans are cost effective by allowing communities without the money to build dedicated death rows to kill prisoners, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, there's organ harvesting. And I remember talking about this more than 10 years ago on the radio. So,
organ harvesting. And it's not clear to me. I guess most of it is from people they execute. I know there's some organs that can be harvested, but from people who are keeping them alive, I don't know how much of it would be that. But anyhow, I just wanted to point that out. It is a 3-million-man virtual concentration camp, and people are being cremated. And it just got started. So this is something to think about. Anyhow, yeah. I enjoyed the conversation, although it's a very unsavory topic, and have a good day.
Thank you, Jim. Much appreciated, as always.
Bye.
I appreciate it. I appreciate the conversation, though, you know, as you said, the topic is most unsavory. I don't want to focus on this stuff, but, I mean, at some point, don't we have to take a hard look at what's happening, and don't we have to try to figure out how we got here, and how not to perpetuate evil? And I just keep coming back to, I don't know, lots of things, but in particular, Pike's letter to Mazzini, what I call the most prophetic letter never written, August 15, 1871, outlining three world wars. The third was to be fomented by taking advantage of the differences caused by the agentur of the Illuminati between political Zionists and the leaders of the Islamic world. And before the turn of the 20th century, before the early 20th century, we didn't have Saudi Arabia or this thing called Israel. We didn't have those. That's interesting. Stick around. I'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, this check is wrong. I worked a holiday and 7 hours of overtime. Not getting paid correctly is a real pain. It could also hurt our boss if our company provides out-of-compliance checks. That's right. Construction companies doing business with the government can get fined, or officials of the companies can go to jail if the checks aren't right. It's a law. The Davis-Bacon Act has 30 compliance issues for every check, but there is an easy way for construction companies to be in compliance. EMARS offers Compliant Client, a web-based system that finds and corrects all 30 of the possible out-of-compliance check issues. Users of Compliant Client report an 80% savings in time and money. Running a weekly payroll usually takes about 5 minutes. All 15,000-plus clients of EMARS have never had a legal compliance issue. Plus, they sleep better on check day. Contact EMARS at emarsinc.com or call 480-595-0466.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on a tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me, and I'm feeling good.
Welcome back. Perfect esoteric introduction to the subject matter. So, a few things that I think about, you know, gosh, it may seem strange and disconnected, but hopefully it makes some sense. So, bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Thursday, October 10th, 2019. So, talking about Pike's letter to Mazzini, my mind goes there to see all of this conflict. August 15, 1871, he wrote, in the framing of the three world wars, the third world war must be fomented, et cetera, et cetera. The forces that suddenly emerge on the world stage, seemingly from out of nowhere, really, in the early 20th century, Saudi Arabia and this thing called Israel. But Pike wrote, the most prophetic letter never written, it says, we shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists. And talked about that in the past and the correlation to today, and we shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm. That's interesting, which in all its horror will show clearly to the nations the effect of absolute atheism, origin of savagery, and of the most bloody turmoil. Just because we can. No, there's a purpose, there's a means to the, or that this is the means to the end. What is the end? Then everywhere the citizens obliged to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries will exterminate those destroyers of civilization. Ah, the reaction, and then what? The solution, the ultimate solution. Disillusioned with Christianity. It's not real Christianity, though. I'll get to that in a minute. Whose deistic spirits will from that moment be without compass or direction, anxious for an ideal, but without knowing where to render its adoration, will receive the true light through the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer, brought finally out into public view. The manifestation will result from the general reactionary movement, which will follow the destruction of Christianity and atheism, both conquered and exterminated at the same time. But it's not, you know, I'll get to that in a second. So, you know, again, I think of the corresponding departure from reality, really. You know, in Romans chapter 1 in particular, Jean Baudrillard's Simulacra and Simulation, and for that matter, the departure mentioned in Amos 8:11 and 12. It's like, you know, falling into the sea, and, you know, at night, for example, with maybe just a little bit of moonlight, and as you sink to the bottom of the sea, you're plunged into utter darkness, and that's kind of the way that it seems. Anyway, this issue, disillusion with Christianity, it's not real Christianity. And I always think of the Union Jack, 1971. From the prologue, seeing that Christianity could not be consumed by so many and great persecutions, but from them the impetus to fill the whole earth, quote unquote, the workers of wrath have attacked the conscience of the world by fabricating a counterfeit Christianity. Counterfeit Christianity. More deceptively, however, they have added the dimension of feigned persecution, which is why I always say, do we know these people that we hear are persecuted? They've added the dimension of feigned persecution to their stratagem. Why? So that you can use that impetus to fill the whole earth with this counterfeit Christianity. So they've added feigned persecution to their stratagem of fundamental Christianity, the reaction to which, again, the reaction, always the reaction. Reaction to which is to deceive humanity into a world social state in the name of Jesus Christ. Americans will be surprised to learn that America is being used as a major incubator in this neo-Orthodox Christianity, which is not antagonistic to Marxian communism at all, but is indeed the spirit of it. It is this spiritual communism in the guise of Christianity that is to emerge as the crowning achievement of world revolution. Speaking of world revolution, that was a book by Nesta Helen Webster, World Revolution, The Plot Against Civilization. I was just revisiting in the break from the foreword. she actually addresses from the beginning of the foreword. This book was published in 1921, by the way. And she wrote, amongst all the books, pamphlets, and newspaper articles that are now devoted to the world revolution through which we are passing, it is strange to notice how little scientific investigation is being brought to bear on the origins of the movement. And, you know, at this point, about 100 years later, it's strange to notice how little scientific investigation is devoted or being brought to bear on, you know, going back to that point and reflecting on some of these provocative lessons of history. Hayek's reflection, the Rees Committee, you know, et cetera, et cetera. and the contemporary update, again, Patrick Porter's Market Security State. I want to get to that, especially with the Johnson & Johnson stuff, the latest nonsense. You know, I really think, just, I don't know, you know, if anything tells the story that we're talking about, propaganda, Edward Bernays, the engineering of consent, Bertrand Russell's impact of science on society, what Hayek talked about in The Road to Serfdom, the philosophers that were responsible for this, the Frankfurt School, and you know, the Theodore Adornos, the Gregory Batesons, all these folks. You know, fast forward to Francis Fukuyama and books like Our Post-Human Future, Consequences of the Biotechnology Revolution, and you know, how technology plays a part, cybernetic totalists, just all of it. If anything tells the story of where we've been brought to, me, it's the Johnson & Johnson TV commercial, Take Care of You, Your Whole Life Company, juxtaposed with the Yahoo Finance installment. I guess we'll wait on that. I just really think that that's it in a nutshell. Those two clips together, that just tells us everything. Here's a company that's telling you we're a Take Care of You, Your Whole Life Company, which may include giving you cancer and, you know, other extremely adverse side effects. This poor young man, Nicholas Murray, was given Risperdal as a child. And he's not the only one. You know, thousands of outstanding lawsuits. And this is America. We are taking care. I mean, how can you possibly entertain these two thoughts in the same mind? Johnson & Johnson, a Take Care of You, Your Whole Life Company. And that Yahoo Finance installment. I mean, just the, how can you talk about this stuff and not be horrified? Yeah, you know, it again, you know, Erwin Mainway, Dan Aykroyd's character, you know. Yeah, you know, so the talc gives you mesothelioma. I mean, it's asbestos, you know, powder, you sprinkle it on yourself, so what? I mean, you know, it happens. It's just unbelievable. You should be rooting this out. It should be unconscionable. It should be impossible in America. Regardless, I think, of what side of Tocqueville's Democracy in America you fall, I think that this would be reprehensible and unthinkable in his view of America, I think, in my reading. Anyway, back to the phones. Fred in Iowa, thanks for calling. Welcome.
An extraordinary show as usual, Chris. I would suggest it bears people going to the archives and at least listening to the first hour of the show. I hope that I can contribute to what you've been saying. Now, Jim in Brooklyn, I usually say when I agree with someone that they said a whole mouthful. Well, I'll say it this way. He brought up some very salient points. I will come back to Jim in Brooklyn, which I consider him a brother. Okay, the points I'm going to talk about, good or evil, right or wrong, what standard are you going to use, God or man? And then you said conviction and persuasion, our own mind tricks, and then self-examination. Okay, people today, I suggest and say, they don't consider good or evil anymore. It doesn't come up in the lexicon very often. And I think even in the thoughts of man. But right or wrong, we hear this all the time. Man's right or wrong. But just in your show today, what you've covered is that opinion, man's can change continually, and it always errs toward evil. Now, self-examination. I'm going to bring up myself, what's happened, what has happened in my life. It took me a long time to discover what an ignorant ass I was. And then the slow process of gaining some knowledge, and hopefully from that knowledge, understanding of that knowledge, that I could better and help myself and my fellow man. And it's been a struggle. Now, I'm going to come back to Jim. I'm going to call him Brother Jim in Brooklyn. He's on the right track, Doug Batchelor, but I strongly suggest for more growth and knowledge, and then what degree you can make of that knowledge and understanding is commensurate with the effort you put into it. And that, Jim, in Brooklyn, is amazingdiscoveries.org. That doesn't mean that you keep on taking information, because information compared to prophecy and the word tells you where we are in the stream of time. And Chris, any time that I'm talking that I don't want to use the word interrupt, you can jump in any time. I would not be offended. But I'm going to cut this short. Extraordinary show, which your shows seem to be growing in standard. And I've said enough for today. Thank you, and good.
Thank you, Fred, as always. Much appreciated. The one thing that sort of comes to my mind is you know, speaking of challenging one's own thinking, you know, in view of what Fred said in particular, and that sort of in view of what I was saying earlier, think of I've mentioned Oswald Chambers recently. It was the entry for the 5th, I want to say. October 5th, The Nature of Degeneration is what it's called. And the way he puts it, the Bible does not say that God punished the human race for man's sin, but that the nature of sin, namely my claim to my right to myself, entered into the human race through one man. And that's an interesting concept. Maybe I'll touch on that a little bit more when we come back, and then we will go back to the phone. Stick around, be right back.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol,
high blood pressure. Fingers and or toes often go cold. Arms and or legs often go to sleep. Sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe. Short walks cause cramping or pains in legs. Memory is not as good as it used to be. Ankles swell late in the day. Chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Speaking of propaganda, I just in the break saw a commercial for seniorflushot.com. The flu can be fatal, especially for seniors. A project brought to you by Sanofi Pasteur. I wonder, you know, what could be their interest. They're benevolent philanthropic organization that wants to help people. the flu can be fatal, especially for seniors. Well, so can the vaccine. More of that information is in there anyway. The nature of degeneration. So it was the October 5th entry. Oswald Chambers, he quotes Romans 5:12, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin and thus spread to all men because all sinned. He writes, the Bible does not say that God punished the human race for one man's sin, but that the nature of sin, namely my claim to my right to myself, my claim to my right to myself, entered into the human race through one man. But it also says that another man, capital M, took upon himself, capital H, the sin of the human race and put it away. An infinitely more profound revelation, see Hebrews 9:26. The nature of sin is not immorality and wrongdoing, but the nature of self-realization, which leads us to say, I am my own God. This nature may exhibit itself in proper morality or in improper immorality, but it always has a common basis, my claim to my right to myself. When our Lord faced either people with all the forces of evil in them or people who were clean living, moral, and upright, he paid no attention to the moral degradation of one, nor any attention to the moral attainment of the other. In fact, he said, unless their righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, then what? So he looked at something we do not see, namely the nature of man. See John 2:25. Anyway, that concept, my claim to my right to myself, speaking of reflecting on the words of Hayek in particular, if even the thoughts of the rights of man, for example, if any of this discussion of individuality or collectivism leads me to become a tyrant, essentially, then I need to re-examine my underlying philosophy, I think. That'll do it for the second hour. Third hour coming up. We'll go back to the phones when we come back. Stick around. I'll be right back after the short break.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.